Welcome to the Political Rewind. I'm Muthoni Muturi. Coming up today, raising the specter of a Senate majority, defending socialism, and behind the campaign curtain.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Renee Montaigne is off today. I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. John McCain is also campaigning in Ohio, also campaigned over the weekend in New Mexico and Iowa, all states that President Bush won in 2004 that McCain is trying to keep. He told NBC's Meet the Press over the weekend, a win for him is guaranteed, even though some polls show him trailing by double-digit margins. NPR's Ina Jaffe reports.
In case you were wondering whether McCain feels like the underdog, his campaign continues to use the theme from Rocky as its unofficial theme song. Some of the rally speakers even acknowledge that the Republican candidate's got a lot of ground to cover and doesn't have a lot of time or money, at least not compared to the hundreds of millions raised by Barack Obama. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham practically pleaded with supporters in Albuquerque.
Don't let Barack Obama buy New Mexico. Don't let him buy it.
In the face of his many challenges, McCain has adopted a seemingly spontaneous rhetorical twist to demonstrate his self-confidence. Sometimes it comes when he's talking about energy policy, sometimes when he's talking about the economy, but it always sounds like this.
When I'm elected president...
McCain does not draw the mammoth crowds that Obama does. On Saturday in Albuquerque, for example, McCain had a morning event that drew hundreds of people. Obama had an evening rally in the same city that drew tens of thousands. But Karen Brandt was glad to be one of the hundreds there for McCain, for so many reasons.
I think he's tried and experienced, has good core values. He's just not scary.
In McCain's speeches, Barack Obama is the scary guy, along with his fellow Democrats in Congress, who could become a lot more numerous after next week. A Democratic takeover of Washington, says McCain, would spell economic disaster.
Senator Obama's tax increases would put even more people out of work. The answer to a slowing economy is not higher taxes. But that's exactly what's going to happen when the Democrats have total control of Washington. We can't let that happen.
At a rally at the University of Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls yesterday, McCain touted his energy plan with emphasis on offshore drilling and nuclear power while ridiculing Obama's more cautious comments during the third debate.
We talked about offshore drilling, and he said he would, quote, consider offshore drilling. We talked about nuclear power. Well, it has to be safe, environmental, blah, blah, blah. And the fact is...
And remember Joe the plumber? McCain's begun talking about another Joe now, too.
Senator Joe the Biden,
the Democratic vice presidential nominee, who recently said that the new president would be tested with an international crisis early in his administration. McCain maintains no one would have to worry about that if he's president.
They may want to test Obama, Senator Obama. I've been tested. I'm going to test them. They're not going to test me.
McCain mocked Obama for being overconfident, in his view, for taking a, quote, victory lap, and for the half-hour speech he's scheduled to deliver to the nation on Wednesday on his own paid time.
I guess I'm a little old-fashioned about these things. I prefer to let the voters weigh in before presuming the outcome.
But it wasn't enough to blast Obama. McCain needed to ensure that his supporters do not lose hope that he can pull this thing out.
My friends, we got them just where we want them. We love being the underdog, and we're going to win.
Stand and fight, he tells them. Nothing is inevitable. Ina Jaffe, NPR News, traveling with the McCain campaign.
Democratic candidate Barack Obama spent much of his day responding to the criticisms from the Republican ticket. Obama made his case to voters in rallies in the battleground state of Virginia. It was his last full day of campaigning before taking time out to head to Hawaii this afternoon to visit his sick grandmother. NPR's Audie Cornish reports.
The Democratic nominee drew some 35,000 people to an evening rally in Leesburg, Virginia. The city's in that voter-rich and Democratic-leaning section of the state that's often considered suburban Washington, D.C. A McCain campaign spokeswoman recently dismissed the area as not real Virginia. Voter and Loudoun County firefighter Carrie Boswell very much disagrees.
Yeah, it is real America. That's what I think. Yeah, this is it. This is what you look at the trends and what's happening and what people's expectations are of their candidates. Yeah, I think it is a true snapshot of what's going on in this country.
And Senator Barack Obama swooped into the battleground state to take advantage of the perceived misstep.
On this beautiful fall day, it is good to be back in Virginia. I know some folks may not think so, but this looks like the real Virginia to me.
John McCain may be embracing the role of underdog, but Barack Obama says he's too superstitious to embrace frontrunner status. The Democratic nominee warns voters at every turn of Republican attacks.
We've seen it before and we're seeing it right now. The ugly phone calls, the misleading mail and TV ads, the careless, outrageous comments, the constant negativity, all aimed at keeping us from working together, all aimed at stopping change.
And then, point by point, he takes them on. For instance, in response to Governor Sarah Palin's comments about so-called pro-American areas of the country, Obama says,
"There are no real or fake parts of this country. We're not separated by the pro-America and anti-America parts of this country. We all love this country, no matter where we live or where we come from."
And when John McCain goes after Obama's tax platform, Obama counters,
"John McCain has called my tax plan socialistic." This is what he said. And here's the irony. Back in 2000, John McCain himself opposed the Bush tax cuts on the very wealthiest.
The senator even manages to throw in a rebuttal to the McCain camp's favorite voter, Joe the Plumber.
"All I want to do is give Joe a tax cut. That's all I want to do. So let's be clear about who John McCain's fighting for. He's not fighting for Joe the Plumber. He's fighting for Joe the hedge fund manager."
Senator Obama does work in some key domestic policy points in between the digs. The Democrat reiterates his call for a federal economic stimulus package for families. He proposes a tax credit for each new employee a company hires on American soil over the next 2 years. And Obama promises a 3-month moratorium on home foreclosures and more. But will it be enough for the undecided voters like Leesburg Town Administrator Scott Parker?
"I think I've heard a lot of it before. Taxes, health care, education. We've heard it for years. We've heard it for years from both sides. And there's a lot of cynical people out there, there's a lot of skeptical people out there."
Which may be why Virginia is still very much a toss-up state. Audie Cornish, NPR News, traveling with the Obama campaign.
I'm Madhani Maturi, and it's the Political Rewind. Finally today, presidential wizardry.
Today and tomorrow, we examine what it's like inside these large rallies that Barack Obama and John McCain are holding. Every day we hear sound bites from the events, but who's giving up the time to wait in lines to get into these rallies and what awaits them when they get there? NPR's David Green spent a weekend in North Carolina and let both candidates come to him. Tomorrow we'll hear about an Obama event. This morning, David tells us about a McCain crowd.
John McCain's crowds these days include people like Ron Grant.
"Got up early, went and got bagels and coffee and and met everybody over at our house and got ready to come out here and see Senator McCain."
He's a 30-year-old Republican who says he's here to take a stand.
"Honestly, I came out this morning because I wanted to take the opportunity to see Senator McCain, and because I refuse to believe that North Carolina is a battleground state. This is a red state. This has been a red state for years. And this is going to be a red state for McCain in this election."
Lately, McCain has been forced to defend red states. Yes, some of his supporters are worried, but they say coming out to see McCain might give them reassurance.
"Good morning. Would you like to get your rally button?"
McCain's running mate, Sarah Palin, isn't here in person. She is on a lot of the campaign buttons.
"We got really cute ones. We got Don't Let the Lipstick Fool You, Pitbulls for McCain and Palin, You Go Girl."
Inside the arena, it's bluegrass music.
"Please please face the flag.
And the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Republican Congressman Robin Hayes is getting things started with a sense of mission.
God has blessed America, but he is asking us to respond to him.
Local Republican Congressman Patrick McHenry is also part of the warm-up act.
Let me tell you why you, McCain-Palin supporters, have to vote early. Because we're going to go vote early once.
Then he gets to his punchline.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go vote once, but ACORN and these liberal groups out there are going to try to vote 70 times.
The crowd's eating it up.
You got quite a whistle. Oh, thanks.
The mighty whistler is Carl Perino. He wasn't always a McCain guy.
I think if Hillary would have been here, I might have gone the other way.
Carl's 51. He sells paint to automobile plants. Hillary Clinton, he says, impressed him with her experience. Obama hasn't, so he's decided on McCain. He drove here for a look at the guy who will be getting his vote.
I feel more secure after I listen to him and up in front and in person.
John McCain! John McCain!
Thank you. Thank you.
McCain is talking every day about the Ohio plumber who famously complained about Obama's tax plan. Volunteers have given out homemade-looking signs to fit the day's message.
It says, fight for Joe the plumber. And we are Joe the plumber.
Tamara Frank drove in the night before and got a hotel room so she could make it to hear McCain.
I don't listen very much to the polls because you come out here and you hear the voice of the real American people.
Her mom, Irma Silvers, came along. Irma says she doesn't believe any news report that has McCain's campaign struggling.
Look at the turnout here. Do you think this is not a representation of North Carolina?
Within a half hour, the stage, the risers, the large American flag are coming down. One of the stragglers is an Air Force veteran named Charlie Souther. He's one of the McCain supporters who's grown frustrated with the news media.
You're a journalist, right? You're the fourth estate, and that's the other thing that makes me so angry in this country.
What makes him angry is that, in his view, reporters play up McCain's attacks on Obama, but downplay attacks in the other direction.
Now, I know they're stretching on both sides. I know the truth is somewhere in the middle, but you, as the member of the fourth estate, have to make sure the people can decide.
One member of the fourth estate is finishing up his TV report.
John McCain spent much of the beginning of the speech referencing Joe the plumber.
Then the arena empties. John McCain, for his part, left a while ago for Virginia, another red state where the polls are close. David Green, NPR News, Raleigh, North Carolina.
This week we're pausing to take in the sights and sounds of campaign rallies for both presidential candidates. Yesterday we heard from voters who flocked to see John McCain in North Carolina. This morning, NPR's David Green takes us on a tour of Barack Obama's rally over the weekend in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
One thing you notice at Obama's rallies is all the young faces.
You drove like 2 hours this morning?
Yep, she drove.
She slept 2 hours.
She slept 2 hours.
Danielle Edmondson's with a group of students from East Carolina University. They stand out in their purple ECU T-shirts. Danielle's a freshman and has spent months volunteering for Obama. She says she's here for some kind of thank you.
I better meet him today. I better get a hug. I better get something. So. Or him just being president. That would work for me.
It's first come, first serve. We have some people that got here at 11 p.m. last night. So we're going to move as quick as we can to get everyone we know can get in.
It's a long line and a long wait, and people offer different reasons for being here. Brenda McQuitty works at nearby Fort Bragg. She says she's been thinking about marching with her mom 4 decades ago during the Civil Rights Movement.
I'm doing it for her because my mother's passed. So I know that she would have loved to have been here. So I knew that I had to get up so that I could be here since she couldn't.
Then there's Charlie Ross. He works in the auto industry. He says he was a McCain guy, but got turned off by the Republicans' ads.
The negative ads are very bad. I'm just a strong believer. I mean, even in my industry, you don't talk bad about one brand of car to make yours look good.
Oh, say can you see?
The rally's taking place inside the Crown Center in Fayetteville. The arena hosts everything from the county fair to an oyster roast. It's also home to the Fayetteville Fire Ants, a pro hockey team. Today it's home to politics.
It's the excitement in the air, the hope, the love.
Deborah Blackman's in a powder blue Obama hat, standing at her seat alone and passing the time with everyone else doing the wave.
Woo! Thank you! Woo! Thought he was in the house, but his spirit is just in the house.
Before Obama actually enters the house, other people come on stage to deliver a serious message that for all the hype and excitement, there's one important detail left.
Because unless we vote, this doesn't matter. And this matters a whole lot.
So that's State Senate Majority Leader Tony Rand. Campaign organizer Kenesha Williams pounds the message by talking about the last 8 years.
But I've learned that if you're going to be angry at the world, be angry with an objective.
The polls in North Carolina are already open for early voting, she says.
Pull out your pen and paper. From 1 to 5 p.m., Cumberland County Board of Elections, 301 East Russell Street.
Then it's time for the main event.
What a amazing crowd. Thank you so much for the wonderful welcome.
I'm keeping my eye on Deborah Blackman in that powder blue hat. She listens to every word from Obama and afterwards says she got what she came for.
God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
We're leaving here with new energy to take back to the people we know that didn't come here.
They break it down pretty quickly here. It gets quiet fast.
Yeah, it does.
These rallies have so much buildup, but when that stump speech is done, it's over. The candidate heads for his plane, and only a few people are lingering, like Tremaine Smith. He's part of that East Carolina University crew that's been working for Obama on their campus.
You know, registering voters can be tedious. You're in the hot sun, there's no cameras around, there's no music, it's just raw. And sometimes you need a boost of energy like this, and seeing Obama every time gives me like a jolt.
He's hoping that jolt will keep his energy going another 2 weeks. David Green, NPR News.
Thanks for listening to The Political Rewind, and we're blogging politics at Vox Politics. Find us at npr.org.